So here we are. We are 4 days before Thanksgiving, which is actually one of my favorite holidays. I love Thanksgiving. And obviously, we're focused this morning, as we do every year, we focus the Sunday before on giving thanks. That's what I'm going to talk about. That's what we're singing about, giving thanks. And on top of that, we also want to give people an opportunity to publicly thank the Lord. We don't have to, not everyone has to say something. In fact, we don't have time for everybody to say anything. But if, somebody would like to offer praise, thanks to the Lord publicly before the congregation of the Lord, we're going to kind of pass the mic around. If you have a word you'd like to say, a testimony you want to give, some form of praise to the Lord. And to set our time up, I would like us to consider Luke 17. Just briefly. I have a brief word this morning. Luke 17, this is where the disciples with Jesus, they are heading to Jerusalem. And the text says that they're passing between Samaria and Galilee. And verse 12 goes like this. We're just going to quickly work our way through this text here. Verse 12 says this. As he, right, Jesus, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And these people, these 10 men, are standing at a distance because very clearly they're required to do so in the law, because according to Leviticus 13, these people have to keep their distance, because if you have a skin disease like leprosy, like eczema, things like that, psoriasis, right? You had to keep your distance because you would be ceremonially unclean. And if you touched somebody or anybody in the, part of Israel, they would be, according to the law, contaminated, rendered unclean, and you could not go into the court of the Lord to worship, right? To offer your sacrifices and all of that. You had to stay clear. And verse 13 says this, right? That's verse 12. Verse 13 says, and they, right, the 10, they raised their voices saying, and I find it interesting what they say here, because they are not saying unclean, unclean, as per Leviticus 13:45, but rather they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. For they know, they have heard what Jesus has done, what he is doing all over Israel, certainly in the region of Galilee, and it's happened in Samaria too, right? Jesus is doing a great work, and they call on him to rescue them, to have mercy upon them. Verse 14. It says, when he, that's Jesus, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And by the way, all of this depends on Leviticus. It's like you're having a conversation in Luke 17, and it's got to do with Leviticus. Go and show yourself to the priest. Because according to Leviticus chapter 14, if you had a skin disease, if you had leprosy like this, and you were healed, it went away, you would have to go and show yourself to the priest. And he had certain things he was to perform and wait 7 days and so forth. And if you were clean, he would pronounce you to be so. He would pronounce you clean. And now you could rejoin the assembly of the Lord. And it's kind of interesting, because what Jesus is doing here, notice, these guys are not even clean. And it's as if Jesus is saying, look, go and show yourself to the priest as if you're already healed. And that's what they do. These 10 men, they start to walk off. And Jesus is calling on them here to have faith, to trust him. It's like, you've heard of me. You know what I can do. Now march down to the priest in Jerusalem as if I have already healed you. He is pushing them to have faith. Now, if they don't believe, they can, I'm not going, I'm not healed. But the 10 guys go marching off. 10 guys. 10 men, unclean, leprous men. They're walking to Jerusalem to see the priest. 10 men, unclean, on a road trip to Jerusalem, when all of a sudden, who knows exactly how this looks, but all of a sudden, somebody noticed they were clean. I almost picture it like somebody gazing at their hand and going, oh my goodness, we're healed. Jesus has healed us. 10 men. 10 men, skin diseased, considered cursed in that society, cursed under judgment. They are separated from the temple worship in the life of Israel. 10 men, likely loathed by people, outcast probably for years. And now here, 10 guys have skin like newborn babies. 10 men. 10 of them. 10 of them. In Indian Valley, how many of them returned to give thanks to the Lord? Do you remember? One guy. One guy. And that should stand out. Jesus makes a point of it. One guy comes back and returns thanks to the Lord. Look at verses 15 and 16. It says, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. No reserve here. He is praising God. Verse 16. And he fell on his face at his, right, Jesus's feet, giving thanks to him. And by the way, it throws us in. It says, and he was a Samaritan. He's not even part of the main people of God. You know, the main church assembly. He's like an outsider. He is second rate. Even if he came in to link up with the people of Israel, he's like a second class citizen. Verses 17 and 18 go like this. It says, then Jesus answered and said, and the question is just palpable. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? And the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? A Samaritan. Not even, again, one of the official people of God, but he's the only one with sense enough to thank the Lord. He's the only one with sense enough to do this. And it actually reminds me of an anecdote. It's a true story, by the way. True story. There was a boat. This is back in the 1800s. A boat, a ship, was wrecked on Lake Michigan, right by Illinois, Evanston, Illinois. It was sinking, right? And if you've ever seen Lake Michigan, it's like the ocean. If you've seen a storm on Lake Michigan, it's like the ocean. I mean, it's big. They have really big storms there. Anyways, a ship was going down there, and students from Northwestern University actually got together. They organized themselves in rescue teams, and they went out to try to save as many people as they could. And one student, his name is Edward Spencer. And single-handedly, this guy, He rescued 17 people from drowning that day. 17 people kept going back to the shore, bringing them, going back out. 17 people he rescued from this sinking ship. The guy actually, Spencer, actually had to be carried to his room because he collapsed from exhaustion. And he kept muttering to himself, did I do my best? Do you think that I did my best? I mean, he wanted to rescue these people. And years later, R.A. Torrey, who's a famous preacher from years ago, early 1900s, he was a pastor at Moody Church years ago and connected with Moody Bible Institute and so forth. But R.A. Torrey, and this is years later, he was telling this story in a sermon in a church meeting in Los Angeles, and he's telling this story that I just told you, using it as an illustration, and somebody yelled out in the audience that Spencer was actually in the room. Old Spencer, white hair, you know, he wasn't, you know, a student anymore, much older man. He was in the room listening to the sermon. And Torrey actually invited him to the platform. So here he is, this little old guy comes walking up to the platform slowly, and the audience is applauding for him. And Dr. Torrey asked the old saint if anything stood out in his mind concerning that day years ago. And he said this. This is a direct quote. He said, "Only this, sir," Spencer replied. "Of the 17 people I saved, not one of them thanked me." Is that weird? 17 people. Not one of them thanked me. Listen, ingratitude. It's common. It was commonplace years ago. We just saw it in Jesus' story 2,000 years ago. You know, Spencer in the 1800s, 17 people. It's commonplace years ago. And we're not all that different. You know, it's commonplace in our consumer-driven, kind of what's in it for me society in which we live as well. And probably the last couple of years, it's only been exasperated, you know, by the politics, the pandemic, and all of this. So even in our culture, listen, gratitude seems more elusive. Civility toward other people often these days seems to be in short supply. But the Bible indicates that God's people are to be different. We're not to be like the world. Those who have received Christ, we should be marked with grateful thanks. Grateful thanks. For Hebrews 12:28 says this to Christians, by the way. To Christians, listen to this. I find this a very potent verse. It says, therefore, Christians, right? Therefore, since we, church people, those in Christ, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show what? Gratitude. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Listen, are you born again? Are you a person? Does that label fit you? Are you born again? Are you bought by the blood of Christ? Have you been rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ? So that as a sinner, you have been forgiven. As a slave, you have been set free. As one defiled, like those leprous men, but I'm talking about like metaphorically with sin, which is what it stood for way back when, as one defiled, have you been cleansed by the Lord Jesus? Have you been like this? You were before spiritually blind, but now you see because of the Lord Jesus Christ by trusting in His good news, the good news of this Jesus, this one who died for our sins and rose again on the third day. Listen, is this true of you? Is this true of you? Well, if it is, even if you have no other reason to praise God at all, listen, you have all you need to praise God a lot, if that is you, if that describes you, to give thanks and praise to the Lord. Look at our Hebrews text again. Therefore, since we, Christians, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Let us, it's talking to us, let us show gratitude. Oh, Indian Valley, the point this morning is let us find tongues of thanks and praise to God. Any fool can do the opposite. Anybody can do that. This is a taller order. This is a bigger call. Let us find tongues of thanks and praise to God that we may exalt this great God of ours. And I'm not talking just today or just Thursday, you know, 4 days from now, but I'm talking about like in, and this should mark us as Christians. This should mark our daily lives as Christians. And let me tell you, that sets us apart from the world. This kind of thing, this kind of gratitude, this heart of gratitude, it will often set you apart from a lot of people like who call themselves by the name of Christ. This gratitude, this thanksgiving. Listen, gratitude, gratitude. 500 years ago, Martin Luther prayed this. He said, Lord, guard us against the shameful evil of ingratitude. Ingratitude. Oh, church, let us thank Him. Let us be a people of gratitude, grateful people. Luke 17, 17, let me read this again. It says, then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Where are they? Listen, have you been cleansed by Christ? Have you been cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you have hope? And I'm talking like eternal hope, not just, you know, I hope I don't get a, you know, I don't know, hope I don't get a ticket next week or something. You know, I'm talking like eternal hope, so that you have eternal hope in the world to come, not to mention all the blessings that God gives you and I right here. Do you realize, you guys got to know this, we are more blessed than a lot of people that walk the face of the earth. A lot of times our troubles are way smaller. What we consider troubles often way smaller than what a lot of people face in the world. Yet we're often a lot more befuddled by these things. Listen, has God blessed you? Has God blessed you? Has He cleansed you? Has He done all these things? If so, let us exude thanks. Amen, church? Let us exude it. And again, not just today, not just Thursday. Let this mark our lives, even in hairy, troublesome times, even in such times. God is good, He is good, and He is better to us than we deserve. God is so good to us. And what we want to do just for a little bit is give opportunity, as I talked about, give opportunity to anybody who would like to praise the Lord. in the congregation. Now notice I didn't say whoever wants to preach a sermon. We already did that, right? We did a short one. And we're looking for like a short word, maybe a short testimony, some note of praise. And I know not everybody will want to. And for some, it's like a horrifying thing to think about talking before a bunch of people. But we want to give opportunity. Let me quote again Psalm 111, verse 1. This is from the ESV that Nate was reading. It says, "Praise the Lord." Listen. "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation." It's talking about in the congregation of the Lord. We want to give opportunity to do that. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your abundant thoughts toward your people. You are with your people through thick and thin. And Lord, you are so gracious. Even sometimes as we step off the path and act stupidly, I can think of clear times where I was very thick-headed and hard-hearted. And Lord, I thank you that you transformed both in your powerful way. And you're still doing it. And Lord, you are so good to us. And I thank you, O Lord, that even through the hardest times of this life, that we have, as Scripture talks about, exceedingly precious promises in Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. We're just passing through. Life is so, so brief. And I thank you for all that we have in the Lord Jesus. I thank you, O Lord, for what you're doing among the family of God right here at Indian Valley. I thank you for the way that you have been moving. Sometimes it's been a real struggle these last couple of years. But Lord, some have pointed out today, and I think of others at other times, oh Lord, that you are still on the move. You are still doing a work. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray that in all things, you would be glorified and you would help us to very frequently and daily find tongues of praise, O Lord, that we might magnify your name and appreciate you, because even in the worst of times, we are very, very blessed and more than many in the world, and certainly all who are outside of Christ. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. May you be exalted. Your name is great. Oh, your name is great. And Lord, we praise you in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Amen.